Good morning. It's great to be here today. It's always fun when you're around the holiday seasons a little bit because you get to see some family and some people that you haven't seen for a while. It's great to see Emily. Emily will be holding an arm wrestling competition after church today. She told us that at lunch last week she's undefeated. And it's good to see Aaron here with us today. Aaron's really good at cards. She cheats, but she does play cards, so it's good to be here. Good to have Blake and Terry and the kids with us. It's Lindsay. It's good to see you guys. Man, what a dysfunctional family we got here. I love you all. So we're just going to jump right into the lesson. And this week, what I want to talk to you about is, to be quite frank with you, it's something that I have struggled with in my Christian walk. It just is. I think we let so much things come from the outside world that influence our decision-making. Maybe we're not walking the way that we want to walk, right? So I want to start off this morning with a story. Now, you may have heard this story, and if you have, just pretend like you've never heard it before and that you like it. There's a man that had a dream once, and in his dream, he was in the middle of a huge field. And in the field, there was a fence that went right through the middle. On one side of the fence was God. On the other side of the fence was the devil. Satan talks to the man. He goes, "Well, which side do you want? Do you want God or do you want me? If you come over here, all the worldly things that you could ever want, I'll give you. Anything that you want. All the money, all the power, anything that you want, I'll give it to you. But if you go over to God's side, you're not going to get any of it. You won't get everything that I'm offering you." So this guy is contemplating, and he's like, "Oh, man, you know, like, God, I love you. I love you so much. But God, there's so many things on this side that's so enticing, so many things that appeal to my physicality, so many things that the world tells me, these are the goals, the hopes, the ambitions that you want to achieve in your life. A lot of that stuff is over there." And then a thought pops into his mind. The thought pops into his mind, "Well, maybe I can just sit on the fence. I get a little bit of God. I get a little bit of the worldliness. I get a little bit of Satan." The guy thinks he's pretty smart. He said, "I can have both sides if I really want." And as he's laughing, he's kind of scoffing, like, "You know what? I just tricked these two. I got one over on them. I get a little bit of everything that I want." His vision goes black. And out of the darkness comes Satan. And the guy goes, No, I didn't choose you. I'm sitting on the fence. I'm sitting on the fence. I get both of each side. Get a little bit of God, and I get a little bit of the world, and I get a little bit of Satan." Satan grabs him by the arm, grips him really hard. He says, "The fence belongs to me." The most dangerous place that a soul can stand is on the fence. Brethren, today I want to talk to you about something that I think we have all dealt with at a time or another, that we've battled with. Many may be dealing with this exact thing right now, and that is being a fence sitter. It's not making a clear decision. Some may even say that it's being lukewarm. I'm willing to give you a little bit, but I'm not willing to give you all of me. I'm not willing to commit full bore. Many people in this world today try and live on the fence. They believe that the fence is a safe place. I'm not worldly, but I'm not fanatical either. They're not fully committing either way. They may believe that it's the safest place to be, so they climb up onto that fence. They say things like, you know, "Well, I believe. I know the truth. I'm just not quite ready to take that full step." The fence feels safe, but it delays a decision. But I want to point out to you guys today that delaying is a decision in and of itself. But when it comes to God, the fence is the most dangerous place that you can be. And that story that I just said may sound a little extreme, but it is exactly what Jesus is warning about in Revelation chapter 3. Colt, you did a good job reading it, but we're going to read it again. "So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, 'I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing,' not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. If you read that verse, I want you to pay attention to something. When we're lukewarm, it makes Christ sick. It makes him sick. And what I'm trying to point out today is what Dion always says, that you're either in or you're out. Lukewarm faith stands on the fence, close enough to look committed but unwilling to fully obey. It knows what God requires but delays action, softens truth, and justifies compromise. It shows up when someone claims Christ but lives no differently in the world. When obedience is postponed because it's uncomfortable or costly. So let's look at a couple examples of fence sitting in the real world, okay? In business, a worker who gives just enough to keep his job but never really gives his best is not going to be the first person that they think of for a promotion. It's not going to think of, hey, this is someone that I can give more responsibility to, or that's going to move up the ranks in their job. Think about it, employers don't value half-hearted effort. Why do we think that God does? In relationships, could you imagine a husband saying, you know, I'm going to be faithful to you most of the time, but I still want to see other women every once in a while? What do you think she would do? She'd throw him away, right? She'd throw him out, and rightfully so. In sports, think about it. Picture a football player. Connor loves to play football. Imagine if he was jogging every time he got the ball instead of running as fast as he can. He'd get tackled. He'd get dominated. No coach is going to accept half effort. Why do you think that Christ does? Christ doesn't. God has never accepted the middle. From Genesis to Revelation, God has always demanded your entire heart, your whole heart. In Matthew, the 12th chapter and verse 30, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, it reads, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." Jesus didn't say he that is undecided is acceptable. He said, you're either all in with me or you're not with me at all. There is no neutral ground when it comes to God. If a house is on fire, a man stands in the door saying, I haven't decided whether I want to leave this house or not, he's still going to die from the fire, because the fire doesn't respect indecision. What he feels is irrelevant to the fact of the matter, right? And so is judgment. So why does the fence feel so comfortable? The fence doesn't look rebellious to the outside world. It looks religious, in fact. In Revelations, the 3rd chapter, verse 17, it says, "For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked." They still worshipped, they still prayed, and they still felt secure. But brethren, the fence is an illusion. One of the most terrifying truths in Scripture is this: you can feel right with God and still be wrong with God. Feelings do not determine truth. Obedient faith does. So many churches out there, all they do is they appeal to people's emotions. Emotion is not what gets you saved. Obedience does. Proverbs, the 14th chapter, in verse 12, it reads, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is death." Brother, I'm going to tell you another story. There was a man, and some of you may be able to relate this a little bit to your own life, have you ever, I'll open with this, have you ever been talking with a spouse or a friend or something like that, and you ask them, well, what do you want to eat? Maybe some won't get that. But there was a man who was notorious in his town for being unable to make decisions. I mean anything. If you asked him what he wanted to eat, he'd say, well, I like burgers, but you know what? Pizza kind of sounds good too. If you asked him what time he wanted to leave, he'd say, early enough to beat traffic, but not so late that I have to get up early. One day, his friend finally said, look, we're going to help you. We're going to force you to decide. So they took him to a fork in the road. One sign pointed left and said, fast, easy, and comfortable. The other sign pointed right and said, difficult, demanding, but right. The man stood there for a long time. He read both signs. He nodded. He scratched his head, and he finally smiled. He said, I got it. He stepped right in the middle and sat down. For a moment, that seemed brilliant. He wasn't tired. He wasn't challenged. He hadn't offended anybody. But when the sun went down, the road got cold, and eventually traffic came through. Brethren, he wasn't run over because he chose the wrong side. He was run over because he didn't make a choice. That's lukewarm faith. So let's look at a couple examples of what lukewarm faith looks like, or fence-sitting looks like in the real life. In 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 5, it says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test." Examine yourselves. Like I said, when I started on the outset, at the beginning of this lesson, these are things that I have really struggled with. And I don't know, maybe somebody in here has struggled with it too. So I'm not accusing anybody, but I'm asking you to examine. If you bend your faith or your worship to appease others, you might be lukewarm. If you soften truth to keep peace, if you change conviction to avoid tension, if you stay quiet so no one gets uncomfortable, you might be lukewarm. In Galatians, the first chapter in verse 10, it says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were to still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." You cannot serve Christ while editing him. You can't make the gospel work for you. You have to work for the gospel. If you want to come to worship but let others influence you not to come, you might be lukewarm. If you want to worship but a spouse discourages you, children complain, friends invite you somewhere else, or you just stay home just because, you might be lukewarm. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 25, it says, "Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." That is not persecution, that is compromise. There should be no compromises whatsoever when it comes to what you know the Word of God teaches. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 37, it says, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." If your faith depends on convenience, you might be lukewarm. Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. A plowman who keeps looking behind him cannot cut a straight path. His heart is divided." This is exactly what life on the fence looks like. The person starts towards Christ but keeps glancing back at their old life, old habits, and old comforts. That is not momentary weakness. That is divided commitment. Jesus's point is simple and severe. Discipleship requires a forward-focused devotion. Looking back proves the heart never fully left the fence. Jesus never asked for convenient commitment. He asked for daily surrender. He must be preeminent in your life. Number one. If you know what's right but you keep waiting, you might be lukewarm. I'm reminded of the story of Felix in Acts, the 24th chapter and verse 25. And he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment. Felix was alarmed and said, "Go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you." Felix trembled, but he waited. Felix heard Paul reason about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. He was convicted, but not converted. He trembled, yet sent Paul away, saying, "Go away now. When I have a more convenient time, I will call for you." Felix stood on the fence because he believed enough to be disturbed, but not enough to obey. He did not reject the truth, he delayed it. That delay was his lukewarm choice. Felix shows us that being emotionally moved by the gospel, yet unwilling to change, is not faith. It's fence sitting, and it leaves a person lost despite knowing the truth. Waiting feels wise. Waiting feels safe. But waiting is exactly what Satan wants. If you defend disobedience instead of repenting of it, you might be lukewarm. I know what the Bible says, but God, you know, I'm doing all this thing, but God understands. God knows I love him. Well, that's just how I was raised. James, the fourth chapter, verse 17 says, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is a sin. Pretty cut and dry, right? If your faith is strong here but weak everywhere else, you might be lukewarm. Sunday only Christianity. In Matthew, the seventh chapter, verse 21, it reads, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Faith that only exists in the building is not a strong faith, and it won't survive judgment. Brethren, lukewarm faith isn't dangerous because it's rebellious. It's dangerous because it compromises. Compromise is to accept standards that are lower than God's, and unfortunately, we as people have some low standards. Why does God reject lukewarm faith? In Galatians, the second chapter and verse 20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Lukewarm faith insults Jesus' sacrifice. Jesus didn't sacrifice half-heartedly. Jesus didn't hesitate. Jesus didn't hold anything back. Jesus gave his blood, his life, his all. What does it say to him when we're giving him the scraps? Jesus asks us one question. If I went all of the way, Jesus asks one question. If I went all the way, why won't you? Another thing that being sitting on the fence or being lukewarm does is it misleads the lost. Fence sitters can confuse unbelievers. Have you ever heard someone say, well, you know, if that's the way that a Christian acts, I don't want any part of it. And it's something that we see, especially with the youth that go to church, and as soon as they're of age, they turn 18, they leave because they see the hypocrisy that happens in the church. It hardens the heart over time. The gospel is not a feeling. The gospel is not about feelings. It demands a get off of the fence. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing truth, not chasing emotion. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 4, it says, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Moving to Hebrews, the third chapter, verse 13, it says, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by deceitfulness of sin. Sitting on a fence is a lot like building a callus. The first time it hurts, you feel guilty. I ought not to have done that. The next time it hurts less. And eventually, you build a callus. Revelations 3, Jesus is standing knocking on the door. And one day, when judgment comes, that knocking will stop. The more we justify the halfway Christianity, the more numb we become. The gospel is facts. So let me give you guys some facts. Christ Jesus died. Christ Jesus was buried, and he rose again. In John, the 14th chapter, verse 15, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Emotion may follow obedience, but emotion never replaces obedience. You know, I'm reminded, I had my dad help me a little bit with this lesson, gave me some pointers. And he reminded me of a story about Grandpa. Grandpa, one time, he was on his way to Downey. He was driving on his way to Downey, and he knew that he was going the right way. He just knew it until he found out that he was in San Diego. His heart told him, his mind told him, his emotions told him, I think I've seen this road before. I've seen it. And he knew he was right, but guess what? He was wrong. He was in San Diego. It's a little bit past downy. So you can feel one way, but the fact may be different, right? Jesus demands a choice. You are either with him or against him. A preacher once said to a young man that delaying obedience, the devil doesn't really care if you delay obedience. He doesn't care because if you reject Christ today, A preacher once said to a young man, delaying obedience, son, the devil doesn't care if you reject Christ today. He's perfectly content if you just wait until tomorrow, because more often than not, tomorrow never even comes. Let's be real, brethren. Fence sitting is a temptation for us all. We say, I'll pray when I have time. You know, I'll give in the collection plate, but only if I got a little bit extra. I'll stand up for Christ if it doesn't cost me anything. But the good news is that God has a plan of salvation to get you off of that fence. God's plan of salvation can get you off the fence. What do you got to do? First, you have to hear. In Acts, the second chapter, verses 22 through 24, it says, Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. You must hear the message of Christ, that he lived a perfect life, that he died, was buried, and resurrected. You have to understand that. You have to believe. In John 8, verse 24, it says, I told you that you would die for your sins unless you believe that I am he, you will die for your sins. Belief is trusting Christ enough to obey. You have to repent. In Acts, the second chapter, verse 38, it reads, And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have to confess. That is with your mouth. In Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 9 and 10, it says, Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one must confess. And with a mouth, one confesses and is saved. Confession is choosing a side of the fence publicly. You must be baptized. In Romans, the sixth chapter, verse 3 and 4, it says, Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him in baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness in life. You were buried in baptism, you were raised in baptism, and you were all in baptism. There is no straddling, there is no delaying, there is no halfway obedience. We sing the song quite often, you know, we haven't sang in a long time, but you hear that song, Almost Persuaded, right? It's a great song. I love the sound of it, but the fact of the matter is, almost saved is not saved. You are not saved if you were almost persuaded. I'm reminded of a story about a Civil War soldier, and he just didn't know what side to pick, so he put on a Union jacket and Confederate pants, and he walked out onto the battlefield, and the North shot him in the pants, and the North shot him in the pants, and the South shot him in the jacket. He was shot from both sides, and he died in the middle. That's fence-sitting Christianity. Trying to live in the middle didn't save him. It killed him. So I have a final invitation for you. God doesn't want half of your heart. He demands all of it. Half-hearted faith dishonors a whole-hearted Savior. If you have heard, respond. If you believe, obey. If you need to repent, don't wait. Do it now. If you're ready to confess Christ, don't delay. If you need to be baptized, the water's ready. The fence won't save you, but Jesus Christ will. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come while together we stand and sing?